Blog Talk Radio.
My friends, imagine standing at a crossroads where every path seems shrouded in mystery and uncertainty. You feel the weight of choices, each path promising different outcomes and experiences. It's in such moments that the cry of our hearts echoes the plea of the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 133. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. This profound verse isn't just a request. It's an admission of our need for divine guidance in the maze of life. Now, if you believe that God can make a difference in your life today, let us stand together in faith. I will pray a fervent prayer with you in the mighty name of Jesus. So watch until the end and open your hearts to receive the blessings of this prayer. We live in a world where our steps can easily veer off into paths of distraction or danger. The choices we make, the roads we take, the relationships we nurture, and the values we hold dear all require wisdom that transcends our limited understanding. In the Bible, the notion of steps often symbolizes our life's journey. It reminds us that life is not static, but a series of movements and decisions. And in this journey, we are not alone. We have a guide who promises to lead us through his word. Reflect on your life for a moment. Think about the times you felt lost, unsure of which direction to take. Remember the moments of decision, big or small, that shaped the course of your journey. At times, the way ahead may have seemed clear, illuminated by the light of your understanding. But how often have we found ourselves at a dead end, or worse, on a perilous path, simply because we trusted in our wisdom? This is why our hearts echo the psalmist's prayer. Guide my steps. It's a prayer of humility, acknowledging that we don't have all the answers. It's a prayer of faith, trusting that God, who sees the end from the beginning, will guide us. It's a prayer of surrender, yielding our will and desires to his perfect plan. When we invite God to direct our steps, we are not giving up our freedom. Rather, we are exercising the highest form of freedom, choosing to walk in the light of his wisdom and love. Now, consider the second part of the verse. And let no iniquity have dominion over me. This is crucial. Our journey is not just about finding the right path, but also about walking in righteousness. It's a recognition that our choices are not morally neutral. They can lead us either towards or away from the path of integrity and purity. Asking God to guide our steps is also a plea for him to protect us from the influence of sin and wrongdoing that can so easily entangle us. In our journey through life, there are many voices clamoring for our attention. Voices of society, culture, personal ambition, and even our desires. These voices can sometimes drown out the still, small voice of God, leading us astray. But when we earnestly seek God's guidance, he promises to lead us. As Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6 reminds us, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. This is a promise of divine direction and intervention. But how does God guide us? He guides us through his word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, as Psalm 119, verse 105 declares. He guides us through the inner prompting of the Holy Spirit, who speaks to our hearts and minds, guiding us into all truth as affirmed in John 16, verse 13. He also guides us through wise counsel from others, through circumstances, and through the peace that comes from making decisions aligned with His will. Embracing God's guidance requires us to let go of our desire to control every aspect of our lives. It means trusting that even when the path seems uncertain or challenging, God is working out His perfect plan for us. It's about believing that He knows what is best for us and is capable of leading us to our destiny. This trust doesn't come easy, but it's a journey worth embarking on. As we navigate through the complexities of life, let us remember that our steps are ordered by the Lord, as Psalm 37, verse 23 tells us. When we commit our way to the Lord, He will establish our steps. This doesn't mean we won't face challenges or make mistakes, but it does mean that we can rest in the assurance that God is with us every step of the way, guiding, correcting, and leading us towards His purpose for our lives. So, today, as we stand at the crossroads of life, let's make a conscious decision to ask God to guide our steps. Let's pray with sincerity and open our hearts to His leading, and also be willing to follow wherever He guides. In doing so, we will find that our paths become clearer, our decisions wiser, and our lives more aligned with His perfect will. Now, to all those within the sound of my voice, let us go to the Lord in prayer. I want you to pray this prayer with me, so that you can have all the blessings of this prayer. You may also listen to this prayer daily as you build your faith and come in agreement. Let us pray to our gracious and loving God. Heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, I come before You with a heart full of praise. You are the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the One who guides the stars and directs our steps. Your majesty and power are beyond our understanding, yet You care for us deeply. I thank You, Lord, for Your unending love, Your grace, and the countless blessings You bestow upon us each day. Your goodness and mercy follow us, and for this I am eternally grateful. Thank You, Father, for the gift of life, for the air I breathe, and for the love I experience from You and those around me. In this moment of prayer, I humbly ask for Your forgiveness for my sins. Forgive me, Lord, for the times I have strayed from Your path. As I seek Your forgiveness, I also forgive those who have wronged me, releasing any bitterness and resentment in my heart. Cleanse me, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, as I step into this new day, I pray for divine direction in all that I do. Guide my thoughts, decisions, and actions according to Your will. Help me to recognize Your voice leading me, and grant me the wisdom to understand the plans You have for me. May Your word be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, illuminating every step I take. Protect me, O God, from missteps that lead away from Your will. I rebuke any plans of the enemy to cause confusion or to lead me astray. In the name of Jesus, I declare that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Shield me from harm and keep me on the path of righteousness, so that I may walk in Your truth and integrity. Lord, I pray for strength and courage, especially in times of trial and uncertainty. When challenges arise, remind me that You are my rock and fortress. I declare in the name of Jesus that I am more than a conqueror through Him who loves me. In every difficult situation, grant me the fortitude to endure and the faith to trust in Your unfailing love and power. I ask for clarity of purpose, O Lord, Reveal to me the unique path you have set for my life. Let my actions and choices reflect the calling you have placed upon me. In the name of Jesus, I declare that my life is aligned with your divine purpose, and I am walking in the destiny you have ordained for me. Gracious Lord, teach me obedience and surrender as I seek to understand your will. Help me to submit my will to yours, knowing that your plans are higher than mine. In every decision, let me seek your face and follow your guidance. I bind any spirit of rebellion or pride in the name of Jesus, and I declare a heart that is receptive to your leading. Guide me in my relationships, Father. Bless my interactions with others and help me to build connections that honor you. I pray for wisdom in my dealings and for the ability to show your love and grace in all my relationships. I declare that my relationships are guided by your love and wisdom, bringing glory to your name. Grant me peace in decision-making, Lord. In moments of uncertainty, fill me with your tranquility, ensuring that my choices align with your will. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke any spirit of anxiety and confusion. I declare that in every decision, your peace reigns in my heart, guiding me to make choices that honor you. I pray for trust in your timing, Almighty God. Help me to be patient as I wait for your guidance, knowing that you make all things beautiful in your time. I rebuke any spirit of impatience or frustration in the name of Jesus. I declare that I will wait on you with faith and confidence, trusting in your perfect timing for every aspect of my life. Empower me with courage to follow your lead, Lord. Even when the path is unfamiliar or challenging, strengthen my resolve to walk in faith. I declare in the name of Jesus that I am fearless in pursuing the direction you have for me. I rebuke any spirit of fear or hesitation and claim boldness and confidence in following your call. I pray for my loved ones, Lord. May your blessings, guidance, and protection be upon them as well. Let them experience your love and grace in their lives. I declare that they too are walking in your divine purpose and are shielded by your mighty hand. Lord, as I say this prayer, together with everyone listening, I am grateful for every heart that is humbled before you right now. We come in agreement as we pray for each other, knowing that you are in our midst as you promised. We claim victory in your name, declare healing for those in need, and thank you for your protection and guidance. Together, we ask for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit to guide us and strengthen us in our daily walk with you. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering my prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you were blessed by this prayer, type the word.
My message is entitled, The Wolf is at the Door. The Wolf is at the Door. Father, I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for your word. It's a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. I thank you, Lord, for the indwelling presence of your Holy Spirit that gives us new hearts, Lord, so that we can stretch out beyond our limitations and be ambassadors of you and your word to all who can still hear. I thank you, Lord, for the anointing of your Spirit. I thank you for courage and compassion today, God, to speak things that need to be spoken in this generation. Help us, Lord, as a church, never to back away from truth. Help us to go forward and let it fall where it may. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. The wolf is at the door. Isaiah chapter 53. Prophet Isaiah says these words. Who has believed our report? Beginning at verse 1. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, it's so important before we even begin to look at this passage of Scripture to understand that it was a religious system that crucified Christ. You know, we understand that the Roman authorities were the instruments of his death, but it was the religious order of the day created by God's own people that put the Son of God on a cross. There were leaders in that generation, and they had used their position over the people to garner titles for themselves. They had adorned themselves in righteous robes, as they saw it, and they loved to parade among the people, as Jesus said, and be called master, teacher, teacher, teacher in the marketplace. But Jesus himself came in a form that he did not take on this form of grandeur that men give to themselves. And also, too, they created a system of salvation that was much wider and much more inclusive than the one that God had given to us. As a matter of fact, it was so narrow that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. They were so offended when he challenged their religious system because they had created this wide door into eternal life and eternal bliss with God that doesn't exist. All kinds of people were coming into the temple defiled and going out defiled. They were living in manners and ways that the Bible clearly indicated would leave them excluded from the kingdom of God forever. And so in comes this man. He's not interested in their system. He's not trying to garner one of their titles. He's not doing things their way. The Bible says there was no beauty in him that we should desire him. He's not dressed in righteous robes. He's not got boxes on his forehead. He's not walking around with tassels on his arms. He's not parading like some rooster before the people, talking about how close to God he actually is. They despised him and rejected him because he challenged their religious system. They had created a system of redemption that did not exist. Do you understand? And that's the propensity of humankind. The original sin in the Garden of Eden is that we can be as God is. Remember, we can become judges of what's good and what's evil. And if you take that to its logical extension, we can start declaring things that are God forgives when he doesn't. We can start declaring behaviors righteous when they're not. We can start telling people they're going to heaven when they aren't. That is the grave, grave danger of religion. When humankind in its sin nature is allowed to take it and so twist it and so pervert it that it becomes something that God never intended it to be. Can you imagine sitting in a place as a professed or supposed believer in Christ only to end up at the throne of God one day to find out you've been outside the whole thing all along? What a tragedy that's going to be for so many. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. There was a heaviness in the heart of the Son of God as he looked on the people as sheep without a shepherd. But we hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. And we are, of course, reliving this scripture again in great measure in our day. In many, many places, even where God's people are gathering, the word of God is despised. And we are now gravitating to fancy preachers who have opened the door real wide to people who are not going to heaven, given them false peace when they're not at peace with God. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old things are what? Passed away. And behold, all things are become new. If we are in Christ, if Christ is in us, that means a new value system. It means a new heart. It means a new mind. It means a new way of speaking, thinking, living. It means that what God says is good, and what God says is evil. We don't try to change that. We accept that from the Word of God. Now, this message is given to shepherds to bring us not only to the knowledge of our salvation, but to the freedom which Christ bought for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his beating, as it is, that he took on the cross, we are healed. The old things don't have power over us anymore unless we choose to let them. The old ways of living, speaking, thinking, doing are broken. And we become new creations in Christ. We are able to look back and say, thank God, I'm not what I used to be. I'm not everything that I hoped to be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be, and thank God I'm going to be one day what Christ is calling me to be. So there's this constant moving forward in the life of a genuine believer, leaving an old way of thinking, an old way of living, an old way of speaking, and moving to truth, even when it's painful. The book of Proverbs says, a righteous person swears to their own hurt and doesn't change. In other words, I say I'm going to do this, and I do it because God's word says I should, even if it causes me pain. And I don't turn from it. Now, Paul was this kind of a shepherd. He didn't hold back, as I said earlier. This is what he said in Acts chapter 20, verses 26 to 31. He said, therefore, I testify to you this day, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. In other words, and this is the cry of my heart, if anyone here today hearing my voice ends up in hell, let it not be my fault. Let it never be because I didn't declare to you the whole counsel of God, or I didn't warn you of something that had the power to drag you down into eternal darkness. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Paul says, for this I know, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, he said, day and night with tears. Paul said there's going to be wolves that are going to come, and they're all already, there's packs of them now. It's not just a few, there's many now in our generation. And they're going to come to devour the sacrifice of Christ and the promise of new life through him. They're going to promise you liberty, as the scripture says in the New Testament, but they themselves are the slaves to corruption. They're promising something they're not experiencing themselves, and they can't deliver it. Listen to what Jude says, the last book of the New Testament before the book of the Revelation. Verse 3 says, behold, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels, who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Here's what the wolves do. They teach that you can live a lifestyle against the word of God and still claim heaven as your eternal home. That is the wolf that's now at the door of the Christian church in America. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators. That means people who engage in sexual intercourse outside of the bonds of marriage between one man and one woman. Fornicators are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Settle it. It's in the Word of God. Don't be deceived into thinking you can live an immoral lifestyle and heaven will still be your home. So hard for this generation to hear when you've got preachers standing in pulpits saying, well, God understands your need and God is a God of love and God won't send anybody to hell. No, that's not true. God is a God of love. We know that. But the Bible tells us that fornicators have no inheritance in the kingdom of God, nor idolaters, people who have other loves in there, something that is in your life that is your whole obsession. Churches or Christ is just a little part of your life, but there's something else in your life that you're pursuing. Nor adulterers, people who engage, who are married, but engage. And, you know, today we take words like adultery and we call it an extramarital affair, as if it's a black tie event. You know, you are invited to an extramarital affair next Friday at 5 o'clock. Bible calls it adultery. Adultery. Settle it. Deal with it. The sex outside of marriage will keep you outside of the kingdom of God. And sex outside of the bonds of the person that you are married to, the man or woman you're married to, will also keep you outside of the kingdom of God, unless it's repented of. Nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. In other words, that's both men and women. Folks, listen. I understand the dilemma, in a sense, that some might face in same-sex attraction. But I'm telling you, you can't give in to that lifestyle on any level, because the Bible clearly says it will leave you outside the kingdom of God. Jesus himself said, some people are eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven. So in other words, some people just live their lives without any sexual activity for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And he said, whoever can hear this, let them hear it. You know, you go to a funeral, for example, and you can dress it up with flowers all around, and there's a death certificate, and the preacher can get up and say nice words, but the reality is that the corpse is still dead. You can't make it live. It doesn't matter what you do. And it's the same with homosexual marriage, folks. I got to say it straight out today. I'm not going to hold back on it. You can adorn it with flowers. You can get a certificate from City Hall. You can find some backslidden preacher to say nice words about it. But the wages of sin is still death. You can't change that. Now listen, I'll be called a hater for this message today. I understand that. But I'm not a hater. If I hated you, I'd let you go to hell. If I hated you, I'd let you die in your sin. If I walk down the street and your house is on fire and you're up in your bedroom window and I don't warn you, am I really a good neighbor? Do I really love you? Do I really care about your eternal destiny? You can curse me out of your bedroom window all you want, but I will still warn you that your house is on fire for your soul's sake. Nor thieves. Lest we should think that we're just going to focus on one thing, or thieves. That means people who steal. It's that simple. People who steal. People who steal a little, they have a contract maybe and steal a little bit more than they should. Income tax time is coming around, folks. Are you going to pay your taxes? Nor covetous. Nor drunkards. People who come to church this morning, but you were out at a club last night. You're drinking and dancing and this foolishness, I'm out there to share the testimony of Christ. Who are you kidding? If you really are there to do that, stand on the sidewalk with pamphlets in your hand and give it to the drunks coming out of the club. You don't need to be in there with them. Nor revilers. You know, especially in this environment we're now living in this country at this time, where reviling has become the speech of the day, where it's fashionable just to curse everybody around you. You know, Paul said revilers don't inherit the kingdom of God. We have a different heart. We have a different spirit. We're a different kind of people. Jesus himself said, blessed are the peacemakers. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. I love that. Would be to God that I can honestly say that of everybody here today. Such were some of you. But you are sanctified. That means you are set apart for the kingdom of God. You are, you honestly repented. You walked away. You moved away from what God's word says is wrong. You can't make it right. You can't change it. It doesn't matter if a million people say, oh, isn't this wonderful? If God's word says it's not, it's not. You are sanctified. You walked away. You walked away from these old ways of thinking, these old behaviors and all of these things. And you set yourself apart for the kingdom of God. You're justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Now, you and I are living in an hour where the wolf is heading to the door of the church, demanding in our generation that we bow down to this new definitions of good and evil. This is where we're living. The days of being able to say without penalty what I'm saying today are over. If they're not over, they're very close to over. It's an amazing time that we're now living in. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. This is the point. There's a lot of hirelings and a lot of pulpits in America today. And they don't necessarily leave the people, but they leave biblical truth. They flee the truth when the wolf is at the door. When the wolf says, if you don't bow down, this is our golden statue. This is what this generation is going to look like. This is what you'll preach. These are the truths that you will espouse. They will bow down when the music plays to save themselves, because it's always been about themselves, not about the people. The hireling will flee. And you are seeing, and you will see a huge departure from biblical truth in the Christian church in this last hour we're living in. The Bible declares that there's going to be an apostasy, a great falling away in the last days from biblical truth. And the hirelings will lead the people, not into the narrow way of eternal life, but into that broad way of destruction. And they flee because it's always been about them. It's been about the robes. It's been about the praises of man. It's been about the titles. It's been about the numbers. It's been about the apparent evidences of success. Then when Christ comes and challenges them, they hate him. His own system hated him. His own people hated him. They pushed him away because he declared their definitions of salvation and truth to be bankrupt. He told them they were full of dead men's bones. He said, you go cross land and sea to get one convert, and you make him twice the child of hell that you've become. These are the words of Christ. He warned us in the last days there would be a great falling away. He warned us. He said, you're going to be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You can't escape that. That's a promise in the word of God. We're going to be hated. It's starting now. You're seeing it in society. You're seeing it in the workplace. You can't even have an opinion on things anymore in this generation that we're now living in. Let me say it clearly now. Abortion for the cause of birth control, or so that people, I understand there are extenuating circumstances, so please don't misquote me on this. But for the cause of just birth control, or for the cause of having sexual pleasure and not having to deal with the life that it can create, is sin in the sight of a holy God. It's a terrible sin in the sight of a holy God. In America today, The deliberate gender confusing of our children in grade school is sin in the sight of a holy God. In our high schools, forbidding our children to pray and creating this fictitious division between the state and the church, which doesn't exist. If you really study it, you'll understand it never existed. It was created by the godless. Forbidding our children to pray in our schools is sin in the sight of a holy God. In our colleges, allowing godless professors to rise up and mock God and radicalize a whole generation against even their own nation that was founded by God for the purpose of being able to worship according to the word of God and freely by conscience is sin in the sight of a holy God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So let this society despise him. Let them consider him ordinary. Let them rebel against his words. But this day, as Joshua once said, if it be hard to follow the Lord, that's your choice. Choose this day. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. By the grace of God, we will not bow before the wolf in this generation. By the grace of God, we will stand for the truth of God. By the grace of God, we will pray again. We will pray again as a church age. By the grace of God, we will stand up unashamed for the truth of Jesus Christ. We stand on the side of victory. We stand on the side. We stand on the side of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory, glory. And as David the king once did, we will stand in this generation against the lion and the bear and everything that comes in to devour our children and to devour the people of God. It's time for the church of Jesus Christ to rise up. It's time for the people of God to fight back. It's time for us to begin to pray. It's time to run for public office. It's time for teachers to speak. It's time. It's time for the people of God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Glory, 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 glory. The true shepherds of God in this generation are going to care more for the people than for their own safety. More than our own reputation. Amen. It's not going to be an easy road. But I don't know about you, but I'm not giving up this generation to darkness. I'm going to stand because the word of God stands forever. The opinions of men are like grains of sand on the seashore. They'll fall into nowhere. But the word of God abides forever. Now here's where I conclude. If you're living in sin, I plead with you, while there's still time, turn. Turn from it. And trust God for the strength. I know there's some sitting here or listening online or they're in the annex and they say, you don't know how deep the bondage is. You don't know how powerful the draw is. No, I don't. But I know the Spirit of God is more powerful than all of that put together. And I know the promise of God is that we will have a new life, an eternal life. The days of living in Christian ease is over in America, folks. It's over. We're about to join our brothers and sisters in China and other places who are being persecuted for what they believe. In Iran, who are being jailed and put to death for believing in Christ. We've lived a very comfortable, very lazy Christianity in America, but those days are over. The wolf is now at the door. Pray for those of us who lead in any capacity that God would give us courage. As I pray for you, that God would give you a cleanness of life and practice and heart and give you the courage to speak up in whatever environment you find yourself in. Our children are starving for truth in this generation and they're wide open. There's only a few Goliaths that claim that they have the power to keep us from being the people of God, but they don't. So I challenge you with all my heart, turn from sin, find that new life in Christ, and rise up and be the person that God's called you to be. We're going to sing for just a few moments, going to worship. I guess my altar call is just twofold today. For people to say, oh God, help me please to turn from this thing in my life. I don't have to tell you what it is, you already know. Help me to turn away from watching pornography. Help me to turn away from drink. Help me, God, to turn away from that flirtation in the office. Help me, God, to stop railing. Get me off, get me out of the seat of the scornful, and help me to walk with the righteous. Deliver me, God, from cowardice, and put a love for people in my heart that casts out all fear. Give me a voice to call this generation back to you again. And God, help me not to cower under the fear of the repercussions that will come all of our way. You know, I was in Washington, and there's an ex-general there who really gives courage to my heart every time I meet him and talk with him. And essentially, what he would say if he were standing here is, you have to fight for a cause higher than your own preservation. If it's just about preserving yourself, you'll flee when the enemy comes. If it's about others, you'll stand. May God give us the courage in this generation to stand for those that don't have a voice for themselves, for our children, for the unborn, for our high school students, for our college students, for every mother, every father, every child in this country that needs to know there's a Savior who died for them. Give us the grace to be kind and compassionate to all, not judging anyone, we leave that to God, but reaching as far as we can reach into this massive fallen humanity with this message of incredible grace that belongs to every person who turns to it through Jesus Christ. So, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you will today cause your kingdom to advance. You will give us the strength and courage that we now need as a people to stand against the onslaught of wickedness that wants to extinguish the testimony of your life and word. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for courage for your people as others throughout the world have had to have. God, deliver us, Lord, from this life of ease that so many of your people have known and bring us into the true fight for the souls of men. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. God, we yield our bodies today to this purpose. We thank you in Jesus' name. So we're going to stand in a moment for those who you just know you have to turn from something.
How many can say he done truly done enough? Paul said he don't treat me like my sins deserve. How many of you know that's enough right there? He's been better than good. Even when I wasn't good to him, he's always been good and faithful to me. Ain't it good to have his favor? Listen. If you never do another thing for me, you've done enough. If you never see fit to bless me again, you've blessed me enough. When I think where my life could be, sing it like I feel it. If you never do another thing for me,
you've done enough.
If you never see fit to bless me again, you have.
You bless me enough.
'Cause when I think where my life could be,
not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome to Jesus in the Morning. I'm your host, Evangelist Barbara Pittman of Freedom Doors Ministries, and I come to you live each weekday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And today is March the 5th, 2024. And we are grateful unto Almighty God for another Tuesday morning. He woke us up, closing our right minds. We have the use and activities of our limbs, our life, our health, and our strength. And we are grateful unto him. He has blessed our families in many ways. And things could be so much worse, but they are not. And so today we are going to talk about the Word of God, because we need it. And if we read it, if we study it, if we stand on it, his word will deliver us, set us free. It will increase our faith in God. It will strengthen us. Yeah, this is what the word of God will do for us. The scripture says, sharper than any two-edged sword. So it will cut out of us what needs to come out. Let us bleed it out. And then his word is able to heal us and sew it back up, making us better. Yeah. And so we're thankful unto him today. And we don't want to just hear what people have to say, you know, any old body, because today we have a lot of false prophets, a lot of false preachers. And they are only preaching and teaching what will help them, not us, but themselves. They will say things that people want to hear, not what the word of God is saying. Because in this walk, I tell you, it's going to be many hard days in this walk of life, in the Christian walk, in the faith walk. But we walk by faith and not by sight. So what happened many days, things will come our way that we can't do anything about. All we can do is pray and stand on the word of God. And what I mean by standing on his word, believe his word, keep quoting his word. Go back to the scripture and read it again. Keep reading until it get in your heart. As you're working around your house, as you're working on your job, you may be going somewhere, whatever you're doing, let that scripture come up in you so that you can remember it and trust God through his word. It's a beautiful thing, I tell you. But without it today, I wouldn't be here. Without the word of God, without the blood of Jesus, without God saving me, without me seeking him with my whole heart, without me trusting him, without me walking by faith and not by sight, I would not be here today. Either I would be dead and gone or in a mental institution somewhere, but God, hallelujah, his love, his grace, and his mercy for me, because I didn't deserve it. Oh, but that grace and his mercy kicked in. Oh, and love was right there the whole time. Because love is what caused grace and mercy to abound for me. And so I'm thankful unto him this morning for all he has done. And daily we want to remember his suffering. He suffered for us. He bled for us. He died for us. He conquered hell for us and rose with all power. Hallelujah. Adam and Eve was in the garden and they separated themselves from God by being obedient. And we were born, but then we grew up and we separated ourselves away from God. But God had a way to redeem us back to him through his son, Jesus Christ. And so he allowed his son to suffer, again, bleed and die, down in hell, conquered all, rose with all power. Yeah, we want to remember that daily. And if he's done all of this for us, what can we do for him? What he knows that we were born in sin. We come from a sinful nature. And so he knows the very intent of our hearts. So he gave us what we needed to have a clean heart and to continue to have a right spirit within us. He gave us these things, but many times we don't use it. We don't use faith enough. We don't use the word of God enough. We don't pray enough. We don't give God our all. We'll give the preacher, the choir, the praise team, members of the church, people we know, our children, family members, the job, co-workers, what we like to do, entertainment, TV. We'll give everything more attention than we will God. But this is March the 5th, 2024, and we need to make some changes. We need to seek God more, seek his face more in prayer, seek God more through reading and studying his word. Yeah, this is what we need to do. I've been listening to YouTube videos about people visiting hell, and I tell you some of the things they said in there, it helped me a lot. One man said, a gossiper. He said the gossipers were suffering. They would open this woman's mouth and shove hot coals down her throat. She would die and come right back to life to experience it all over again. So we have to be careful the things we're doing. We have to be careful how we feel about people, talk about people, interact with people. When people make us mad, we should just go away and pray. Try not to have a thought, a bad thought towards them. Because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Yeah. Many times the flesh will rear up. And I know it happened a lot for men and women. I used to think it was just men, but I see it happens a lot for men and women. They can't stay away from somebody they're not married to, so they're having sex outside of marriage. All of this will give us a straight ticket to hell. And somebody told somebody hell is not real. It's an imagination. I promise you, if God said it, it's a real place. It enlarges itself daily. It's hotter than we really can stand, but there's nothing you can do about it if you end up in hell. You'll just have to endure whatever punishment you get. But now is the time, March the 5th, 2024. Now is the time to come to God and come straight. Pray and get in his word so we can stay straight. Yeah. Because we need him. He don't per se need us. He can have the rocks to cry out. He can have the trees to weave and bow and praise him. But he loved man. And the scripture says this, the day you hear my word, in other words, harden not your heart. Not just when you first come to Jesus. Well, I'm not hardening my heart because I went to the altar and I said I do to God. Every day, if we're not walking in obedience unto God, if we're not working on the things we need to be delivered from, we're hardening our hearts. Yeah, if we just letting it go and walk on, we're hardening our hearts. I want to work on everything that he said. In order for me to know what he said, I got to get in his word. I got to believe that his word is true. Because if I don't believe his word is true, it won't do me any good. Because I won't apply it to my daily life. But if I believe the word of God is true, then I'm going to apply it. When I started off in other scriptures, Matthew, some John, some this, some that I had heard, you know, when I was a child or this and that. I advise today to start in the book of Genesis. I will read the first chapter, but before I read, I will pray and ask God for understanding. Ask him for knowledge and wisdom. See, because when you understand and you get knowledge, then you have the wisdom of how to use the word. You have the wisdom how to share the word with others. I would go to Genesis chapter 1, and as often as possible, read a chapter. I would also start in Matthew chapter 1, and as often as possible, read a chapter, the next chapter in Genesis. Now, there will be times when you won't understand. You got to go back to God for prayer. And sometimes he may send you to a Bible dictionary, a commentary. He may send you to someone. What does this mean? But if we get it for ourselves, nobody can take it from us. If we get it for ourselves, nobody can tell us a lie. Because they want my money. They want my membership. They want me to follow them. Because this is a pressing way. And we want to press our way with God. I don't per se want to press my way with the pastor. I want to press my way with Almighty God who have all power. Because if I get the instructions from him and I get understanding, knowledge, and wisdom, I'm going to walk up right before him if I choose to. That's another thing. You have to make a conscious choice, a conscious decision, a well-made up mind to follow him. And Lord, I want to follow you all the way from earth to heaven. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I've been doing. But I know you're able to see me through. Help me today, Father. Help me not only to study your word and know your word, but Father, I need you to help me to live your word daily. The way you want me to apply it to my everyday life, teach me how. Yeah. There's a song that says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And then the song that says, teach me how to wait. So sometimes we have to wait on God for instructions. Wait on God for understanding. Wait on him for knowledge. Wait on him for wisdom. Let patience have her perfect work. And if you can, then you'll be entire and wanting nothing, especially spiritually. Because, see, we after the natural things. We after materialistic things. Yeah, we after the natural man, the natural woman. But we need to be more after spiritual things because it will bring us the right man. It will bring us the right woman. Yeah. Men, you can get the right wife. Women, you can get the right husband. Oh, yeah. But if we're not leaning and depending on Jesus, if we're doing our own thing, every time we're going to mess up. Yeah. I know I used to say when I was out there and what I thought was the dating scene, he was almost the one. Almost. Brandon wrote a song that says almost doesn't count. Almost won't do me any good. I need the complete package. I've heard women say, well, I got a man to do this and a man to do that. And I've heard women say, it's better to have a piece of man than no man. No, ma'am. And I don't need five or six men. That's too many. I need one man who know what to do, who know how to cover everything that God said to cover, but a woman, because he's in the word of God. He know what God said concerning him and concerning a wife. Because I don't want a boyfriend. I would have to have a husband. Because I would have to be responsible for my actions to him. Whatever I do, it should be to encourage him, to lift him up, to be a blessing unto him, to be a helpmeet unto him. As the scripture taught me, or as the scripture teaches me, yeah, man is important, very important. A wife is very, women are very important. God made both for his pleasure. Don't get it twisted. There was no confusion in God. He didn't make a man and decided later on in the man's mind he wanted to become a woman, or he made a woman and later on in her mind she decided to become a man. No, they were born. Male or female, he made them. He didn't make nothing in between. Yeah. So we got to learn to trust God. Stay with his word. We don't hate nobody. We don't hate nobody because of their decisions. Because the scripture said, let the wheat and the tare go together. In the day of harvest, he'll do the separating. Now, that's his word. That's not mine. Hallelujah. I'm looking at 1 Thessalonians this morning, chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Did you hear that? It effectually worketh also in you that believe. Faith is very important. It's the key thing with God. When we first come to him, we must believe. Believing that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we got to diligently, constantly, faithfully, always seek him. Yeah. If we look at some, that was 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Psalms 105 and verse 19 says this, unto the time that the word came, the word of the Lord tried him. His word will try us. When we pray for faith, the test going to come to give you faith. If you pray for patience, the test is coming for patience. If you pray to love more, the test is coming for love. So when I pray for things like this, I ask God to strengthen me because I know the test is coming and I want to pass it. I don't want to flunk it. When you pray for love, people will get on your nerves so bad, and the enemy will tell you, you need to hate them. They just crazy. And don't be bothered. But no, pray for strength, that you can love the way God wants you to love. For God is love. And if we got God, we should have the love of God in our hearts for man, meaning man or woman, boy or girl. Yeah. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. That was Psalms 105, verse 19. And 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25, it says this, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Anybody heard the gospel preached? Why did you come to the Lord? How did you come? Did you hear the word, the gospel? Yeah. See, I had heard the gospel. Not only that, I had been to church to hear the gospel many times. But I heard, but I didn't obey fully. I went every Wednesday, every Tuesday, every Saturday if I could, every Friday, and on Sunday I was there. And I'm hearing all this word, but I'm not keeping it. I'm not really applying it to my everyday life. On certain things, you know, that I felt was good for me, that would work for me, that would cause me to have more, or cause me to get money or whatever, you know, whatever pleased my flesh, you know, I could accept that. But the true word, that flesh had to die, I didn't want no parts of that. Even when they talked about fornication, I don't want to hear that. Who sleep by themselves? That's not what I want to hear. Soon as they preach on Sunday and the last word of the benediction was given, I'm out the door with a man. Yeah. So look. I had a form of godliness, and I was denying the power thereof. I would honor God with my lips, but my heart was far from it. So in 1993, when he come, I went to him. He was already there. He knew where I was. I really didn't know where he was. So when I went to him, I didn't go to him on my knees, now holy and righteous Father. I didn't do all of that. I didn't go to him like most Baptist deacons preach. I just went to him straight up like I would just anybody that I wanted to understand and I wanted the truth. Because they told me if you want the truth, you go to the person. Don't go to their neighbor. Don't ask their brother. Don't ask their mama, go to them. So I really didn't know I was really going to him. I didn't really know that I was really praying. I just simply went looking up in the sky from the bedroom window. I'll never forget it. I said, God, I heard you're real. I want to believe that you're real, but I don't know. But if you are real, I want to be just as real in you as you are real. Just simple words. Nothing drawn out. I didn't even repent per se. But the next thing I know, I was on my knees. And on the side of my bed was my prayer closet. Next thing I know, I was praying. And then I was praying prayers like this. God, let me die so you can live. In other words, let my flesh die so you, which is spiritual, can live in me. This caused my whole world to change. I'm telling you, it caused my whole entire life to change. I started asking for forgiveness of this, forgiveness of that, everything I could remember that I knew I'd done wrong. I would ask for forgiveness in the things I don't remember. Lord, forgive me for those things. I would read the word, but I wasn't really understanding. Over in Matthew, this one begot that one, and that one was the father of this one. I wasn't understanding. But guess what? I learned to pray before I read. And I began to get understanding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. But we need his word today. We need the word of God in the month of March. We need it in the month of April all the way through December. For the rest of our lives, we need the word. But we're in the month of March. Today is the 5th. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not promised. But we have the 5th of March to get in the word. Looking over at Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, it says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If we go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, come on up through the books of the New Testament, you're going to hear these men preach. These men teach. God inspired them. And many wrote his word for us today so that we can live accordingly, according to the way that God wants us to live daily. Yeah. But what says it? The word is nigh thee. We have it right now. The word is near us right now. Many of us have Bibles. Even in thy mouth, some of us can quote scriptures. And in thy heart, many of us believe. That is the word of faith which we preach. Many of us go to the 23rd Psalm and we believe that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. Huh? We believe these things. That's the word of faith. You heard it. Somebody taught it to you somewhere. But there's much more than just the 23rd Psalm. He said, which we preach. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. This is what it says. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Godly women, women who believe, if we're married, if we're planning to get married, if we want God to give us a husband, we can't look for one. We have to let God decide for us women. And so what happens is, if God bless us with a husband, we become subjected unto the husband. Because God gave us a godly man, a man who will not lead us astray from God, nor his word, nor prayer, nor faith. Yeah. So what happens is we come together as husband and wife unto God, and we pray together. We study his word together. We may attend the same church together. If you have children, we train our children together. One is not against the other. We have some women, they are not saved, but they believe in what's right. So because they believe in what's right, the husband sees that. And, you know, he's not saved either. But he sees the good in his wife. And it calls him to want to do good. It causes him to want to do better. But it's the word of God that will help. If they both get in the word, if they both go to God and let God save them. It reminds me of Cornelius. He was a good man, gave much alms to the poor and all this kind of thing. He loved his family. He loved his friends. He didn't want to do anybody wrong. But that wasn't going to fly because that could go at any minute. How many know people that lose weight and gain it back? We made up our mind one day to lose that weight, and we did what it took to lose it, but then along the way, we didn't have what would keep us to keep the weight off, so we went back to eating poorly and gaining weight. So Cornelius didn't have what was going to keep him. He needed the Holy Ghost. He needed the Holy Spirit. He needed the Spirit of God to keep him. God saw the intent of his heart and told him to send down to Joppa and get Peter. Peter come and obeyed. Cornelius invited all his family and friends over there. And they received the Holy Ghost through Peter. God used Peter. Now, Cornelius can continue to be a good man that can walk upright before God because he had the keeper. He had him which would remind us of all things. He had him that would warn us. How many know warning comes before destruction? So it would tell you the Spirit of God, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't go that way. Sit right here. Be quiet. Don't say nothing. Yeah, that's the Spirit of God. Because we're to live peaceably with all men. And some things that you said to people, instead of wrath, you won't live peaceably. They'll hate you for the rest of their lives. So he'll tell you what to say, what not to say, when to say it, how to say it, and many times why you're saying it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. Because, again, he's going to tell you when to say it, what to say, how to say it, where to say it, and why you said it. Smart. Can't get nothing by God. Hallelujah. Look what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 20. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, and every one her neighbor lamentation. Listen. It is the mother's job to train her daughter to be a lady, a godly lady. See, there's a difference between a lady and a woman. We were born late, women were born females, and we grew up to be women. But somebody had to teach us how to be a lady, how to carry ourselves like a lady. A lady just don't say any old thing. You won't ever hear a lady cussing. You won't hear a lady gossiping. You won't hear a lady just saying any old thing, but words of inspiration. It says, teach your daughters wailing. Some things you're telling me to make you cry to tell them, but you're telling them and you're feeling this hurt if they don't do it. So the tears come and they know you're serious. Oh, mama, yeah, this is very serious, baby. I need you to do this way. And everyone her neighbor lamentation. You're going to go through some things. But yet you don't want to be against your neighbor. You want to be a blessing to them. And sometimes it's a hard thing. Because sometimes the neighbor don't believe like you. but they appear to be all right. I'm not saying they're a good person, but they appear to be all right with you, so you want better for them. So you talk to them about the things of God. Sometimes we have to fast and pray to get through these times with the neighbor. Amos 7 and 16 says this, "Now therefore hear you the word of the Lord. Thou sayest prophecy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord." That's important right there, to hear the word. Believe it and apply the word to our everyday life. That is so important. "And these are they by the wayside." This is Mark chapter 4 and verse 15. "Where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." I know we heard you plant and the seed grow, but it's choked out. It's burnt out. Yeah. I ministered to people. They were so excited, and they were going to go to church Sunday or Bible study Wednesday night, and they were going to come back and talk to me a little bit more, you know, about the word. Because that particular day, they was intrigued. That particular day, they was hearing something good that they knew could help them. But when they went away from me, they got around friends or family members who were still drinking, still smoking weed, doing other things, snorting coke or whatever they was doing. He saw the woman that he liked for a long time, and she wouldn't even give him the time of day, but today she spoke. He forgot all about the word. Yeah. "And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." Did you hear that? And the word was sown in your heart. And Satan came quickly and took the word away. You don't even remember what it said. When you look up, you in sin. When you look up, you straight up sinning. Because Satan came and you allowed him to take it away. But again this morning, the day you hear my word, harden not your heart. Stay in prayer. Ask God to let you hide the word in your heart that you might not sin against him. Lord, let your word be my guide today. Let your word be my guide in the noonday. Let your word be my guide in the evening. Let it be my guide at night. Even when I'm sleeping, Lord, let your word be my guide. Because whatever we get, Satan will come quickly and take the word from you. You won't remember that. When you know anything, you're back weed smoking. You're back cussing. You're back drinking. You're back snorting. You're back lying. You're back cheating. You're back gossiping. Yeah. And these are not things we want to be partaker of. I understand about the truth. We tell the truth. But there are some things that we gossip. It's not just the truth, but we're talking about somebody. And so we want to learn to pray for these people, that God will intervene on their behalf. And when he see us doing this, he know we're not selfish people. It's not just about us. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 2 says, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter at these gates to worship the Lord." Come on to church. It's a good thing to come to church, but I need you to come to church hearing and applying the word of God. Sharing the word of God with others. Yeah. I want to protect you through the word of God. Because if I can get you to believe his word, It's going to bless you. It's going to help you. It's going to keep you. And if I could get you to remember to keep your mind on God, it's going to keep you in perfect peace. Things are not always going to be the way that we want them to be. Every day is not going to be a perfect day. We're not always going to have what we feel we want or need. But if we keep our mind on God, he'll remind us. The Spirit of God will remind us. This won't always be like this. It'll remind us. Let faith do the work. Believe me, stand still and know that I'm God. Trust in me with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me. I'm going to direct your path. It'll remind you. While you're going through this, I need you to talk of my wondrous works and make known my deeds among the people. You're going to begin to witness to others. You might just pick up the phone and call somebody you haven't talked to in a while to check on them. And they start telling you some things. And you say, well, can we pray? And you begin to pray with them. Your mind on God. You done took it off whatever was happening with you. Because you remembered his word. Hallelujah. You remember his word said, I keep my mind on him. He's going to keep me in perfect peace. You didn't slack with nothing. God is faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So look, we're looking at Matthew's chapter 13 and verse 22. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. I want to read that one again. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22 says this. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. What happened, Barbara? He heard the word. But that's all he did. He didn't let it get in his heart. He didn't let it get deep enough in his mind to remember. So he received the seed, but it was among the thorns. And he heard the word. The care of this world got him. And the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. This is why a lot of people are being pulled astray. Because even in the church, they preaching a word, but it's not a word that's going to sustain them. It's not a word that's going to cut them. See, when you hear the word, you need a stern word. You need something that's going to jar your memory. You need something that's going to shake you enough to hold on to it. If I bring you these watered down messages talking about how forgiving God is and you can do it 77 times 77 or God understands, he know your heart, that's dangerous. That's very dangerous because that's the problem. God knows the very intent of our hearts. And many people say this like the heart's so good. Like they got a working relationship with God and they ain't did nothing but what was right. But his word says even our righteousness is as filthy rags. I saw you drink the half a bottle of liquor. Don't judge me. God know my heart. Yeah, he know you're drunk. That's what he know right now. You just keep smoking joint after joint after joint, you know, and you high. And now you want to philosophize and don't judge me. God know my, yeah, God know you're high. Your brain smashed. That's what he know. Well, see, I love this woman. Barbara, you don't understand. I've been after her for years, and she finally gave me a chance. Don't judge me, Barbara. God know my... Yeah, he know your lustful heart, and he know you're over there fornicating, which will carry you to hell. And then you're lying in many places, and a liar won't tear in his sight. So let's go back. I'm telling you, because God knows the very intent of your heart. And you hear the word. God has sent people to talk to you about things, but you let the enemy snatch it out of you. You hear what they say, but at the same time, you're making up your mind. I'm still going to see Priscilla. I'm still over there going to see Linda. I'm still going over there and lay with Carol. So the seed is among the thorns. You heard the word. And in the care of this old world, some of us, we can't get by the materialistic stuff, see. We can't get by Fendi. We just got to have Louis Vuitton. We just got to have name brand high-end fashion things. We got to have a $5,000 purse. We got to have the red bottom shoes. And we got to have the latest wig and the latest weave and the latest makeup. Foolishness. We got to drive a Benz or a BMW to show the world we live in the American dream. There's no such thing. Foolishness. Nonsense. Being lied to get you to be deceived, to get you to go against God, because you'll do anything to be a part of that foolishness. Because you care what the world say about you. You care what people think about you. Nothing about God and what he thinks. The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Some people never would have sold drugs, was afraid of drugs, never done drugs. But to have the riches of this world, they'll sell drugs. I'm raising my right hand right now. I'm guilty. To have money, to have prestige. I didn't know anything about all of this, and my boss taught me some things. He said, you see this Cadillac? I said, yeah. He said, I pulls it to the front of the restaurant. It gives me prestige. He said, now watch when we walk in what happened. The waitress come over and she say, oh, I'm going to seat you over here, the best seat. Your server will be right back. Server come and get the drinks and go bring the drinks back, get the food order. Anything you taste that you don't like, he or she take it back and bring you something else. Prestige and power is what he showed me. He said, what you drive, the way you dress, the way you carry yourself, it show power. And if you walk in and people see or believe you have power, they're going to treat you a different way. I said, I'm not going through all of that. I come over here at Ryan's Steakhouse to get me some crab salad, some chicken wings, blue cheese dressing, and a big fat yeast roll. Sweet tea, when I'm done with that, I get the dessert of my choice. But I didn't come over here so these people could bow down to me. I come to eat. And if I drive a hoopty over here, as long as I can pay for my meal, I could care less. But he showed me this because the deceitfulness of riches, it choked the word. The cares of this old world would choke the word out of you. And you'll become unfruitful unto God. We don't want to be unfruitful. We want to be fruitful. Again, this morning, we want to talk of his wondrous works. and make known his deeds among the people. We want to be great witnesses of Almighty God that have all power. Yeah, we don't want to be shameful of the word because and shameful of God, because if we're ashamed of him, when we stand before him, Jesus is going to be ashamed of us. We don't want that. I want him to know me. I want him to say, oh, hey, that's Barbara. I want him to say, me and Barbara go way back. Hey, glory. I remember the day Barbara came to me. Huh? Wounded and sad. But she found a resting place in me. I made her glad. Hallelujah. I know Barbara. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus and God, they're one. The Father and the Son, they're one. But in that beginning, remember back there? In the beginning, God come and he created the heavens and the earth. The word was there. The word was with God, and the word was God. And today we need to remember this. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So anytime we're obeying that word, we're obeying God. Anytime we're remembering the word of God, we're remembering God. Anytime we apply the word to whatever, we're applying God. Because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And today, Jesus, his son, is still the word. I believe that. Because he and his father are one. So he's God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we know today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, those of us that believe, we know how important the word of God is. I can apply that word and it'll work. I can just hover over or work or work like it's a crystal ball. No, I speak the word and keep going. I speak the word by faith, believing, and keep going. I'm looking for another situation. Now, is there something else? Okay, well, I'm going to be studying up on hell right now. All right, well, I'm going to study on faith right now. Well, I'm going to study on obedience unto God. Because his word says obedience is better than the sacrifice. Do you know obeying God is better than tithes and offerings? Do you know obeying God is better than you bringing whatever to the church? Even bringing yourself there to worship. Obedience. Because if on Sunday God said, well, don't go to First Baptist, go to Second Baptist. Next Sunday he said, don't go to First Baptist, go over there to the Pentecostal church. Now, people won't believe God to do that because they want you there in that one building. And the way that their mind works, they want you stable in one place all the time. But the way that God works, the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. And we pray that the Lord send more laborers, but we want to remember the labor that he called or chose us for. I've been over to Zion Hope. I left another church, came to Zion Hope. I went to my church, left my church, went to another church. All before 1 o'clock in the day on Sunday. Why? I was led by the Spirit of the Lord. There was work there for me to do. I may have gone to another 8 o'clock church service. Stayed there from 8 to 8:30, got up out of there and went on to the prison. Why? I was led. Well, how you know you was led? Well, when you've been led long enough, you learn. Ah, oh, thank you, Jesus. When he's in you and you in him, his sheep know his voice, and a stranger they will not follow. But we got to get there. We got to have a prayer life and a Bible study life. Stop leaning to our own understanding. Stop walking in the natural all the time. We walk more in the natural than we ever do in the spirit. And there is power of life and death in your tongue. Speak to the situation. I know it works. I've had situations went out in the garage and spoke to it and meant what I said by the power of God that's in me. You hear the man when they marry, he said, by the power invested in me. Hallelujah. By the power of God that he has invested in me, this, that, and the other got to go. I'm not having it today. I don't want to hear it today. I don't want to hear what your flesh is telling you, what your flesh is thinking. I don't want to hear that today. I want to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is doing. But by the power invested in me. Because God gave me power. He gave me love. And he gave me a sound mind. And how about that devil to come and try to make you crazy? Huh? Or well, I don't have time for that. And you got to speak up to the devil. Speak up to him. He'll speak out of your child's mouth to you. The devil. Oh, yes, he will. And I speak right back to him and let him know, not today, bud, and no other day. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus that loved me. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. No weapon that you form against me shall prosper. I'm looking to the hills from which cometh my help. All of my help comes from the Lord. He made the heavens and the earth. I can't depend in this world. I can't depend on the man in this world, the people of this world. I can't depend on all of that. People talk crazy out their mouth. They let the devil use them. Don't even know it. I call those things that are not as though they were. Power, love, and a sound mind. Again, this morning, by the power that's invested by God in me, I'm going to speak. And I speak it right now that things are changing for the good. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We bind up every evil and hindering and negative spirit coming our way. And we loose the miracles, uncommon blessings of God upon us. Anything that's not like Jesus coming our way, we bind it up and cast it to the pits of hell, never to return, in the name of Jesus. And we loose today prosperity, money, stuff and things to us. Not because we're materialistic people, but the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want. Simple. Plain and simple. I thank God this morning for his word, because his word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And forever, oh God, that word is settled in heaven. I know if you're part of that faithful few crew, you done heard me say that many, many days, many days. Yeah. His word holds true, but we got to believe this and put the word to the test. Let the word of God do the work for you. And you stop looking and just let the word go out and do what it does. Sit down and know that he's God today. Help somebody that you can help. You can't help yourself, only he can. So he gave you the energy to help somebody else. Lady called me yesterday, want me to help her with her taxes. Whatever I had going on, whatever, I can help this woman with her taxes. Yeah. Somebody may call me and say, hey, Barbara, can you help me with the Medicare Advantage plan? Sure, I can. I've had one. How you know so much? I read. I've tried some things, and you know, I know people call me a big risk taker. It's not that I'm a risk taker. I walk by faith and not by sight. I believe God. So I'll try some things, believing God. many days it have come back and blessed me shortly, for a short period of time, because he wasn't going to lead me into that, because that would have led me away from the job that he really wanted me to do that didn't pay any money. See, what I was doing was blessing me financially, but he was going to push that over there and bring me into work that there was no money, but he had my benefits. He had my back. And when the time was right, the work I did, he brought them benefits up for. Oh, I didn't even know I needed them. He's that kind of God. And see, when we take our mind off money, I'm going to work every hour. I'm going to work every minute. I'm going to take some of that time and give it to God. Let him be first in your life. Because when you make God first in your life, everything else will become where you need it to become. Whatever you need, it'll become there. But we must first make him the head, truly the head of our life, the God of our lives, the Lord of our lives. Everything we follow in him, we're not leaning to our own understanding. In all, A-L-L, again today, that's a big word. In all our ways, we acknowledging him. And we looking for him to direct our path. We're not going to be wise in our own lives, think we know the outcome or something, or how this going to go. No, you don't know nothing. We don't want to be wise in our own eyes. We want to fear the Lord and depart from evil. Anything we doing that we shouldn't be doing, we want to feel God enough to put it down. Not because we want to be using the scare tactics, but we want to give God his just due, and we want to honor him. And we should be fearful of him. He can destroy the body and the soul. He can wipe out your whole family lineage. Everybody gone. Great-grandbaby gone. Everybody, mama gone, to everybody, goodbye. Why wouldn't I feel God like that? I don't have to be scared of him, but I have to fear him. And the reason I'm not scared of him, because he said, come unto me, all that are burdened and heavy laid, I'll give you rest. So I can go to him. I can go boldly before the throne of grace unto him and make my petition known unto him. Yeah. But we got to get there. Prayer. Studying his word. If you don't study, read. Read until you get understanding. Patience to wait on him. If we let patience again this morning have her perfect work, we will be in time, want nothing. I won't want for the Holy Ghost. I already got it. I won't want for understanding of the way he gave it to me. But as I keep going back, he keep that going. As I keep going back to him, as I keep reading his word, as I have patience and I help somebody that's in dire need, it's important to work unto him. And we need to work while it's day. Night is coming, and when night comes, no man can see. Again this morning, the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. We asking God to send more labors into the vineyard. We pray that he send more labors. But we must remember the labor that he called or chose us for, or called and chose us for. I don't know. You know what, Sugarfoot? Go to God in prayer, asking the Lord, Lord, what did you call me to? Because most of us that know he chose us, we know. It took something to get here now. And it took something to find us. And when we was out there in the world, we were some bold soldiers. Woo-wee. And when he called us in and we received from him, and we said, I will. Yes, Lord. We begin to pray for holy boldness in God. And we're yet bold soldiers to say whatever needs to be said. Whatever he says, say it. I said it. said it, and I don't have no remorse over it, because he said, say it. His word said it. I'm repeating what his word said. Now, the world will be afraid right now. They don't want to say nothing against the world. I remember back in the day, I read an article this morning. Somebody had a post. Back in the day, you could say what you wanted to. If people didn't like it, they kick rocks, as they say. They went on down the street about their business. Today, whatever you say, is a whole bunch of folks want to come with a whole bunch of stuff over what you had to say, over how you feel. What? Now you're going to tell me how I should feel? You want to tell me what to say, when to say it, and where I can say it? I have the Holy Ghost. I'm bold. I'm going to say what God says, say. Let the chips fall where they may. They beat Peter, and I think John was with him. Turned them loose, and they went skipping and hopping down the road. We was beat for the sake of Christ. Oh, they was happy. Today we scared too many wimps. We scared to my preachers, to my pastors, to my bishops and apostles. We just want somebody to see what we doing. We ain't doing nothing. A man testified to me yesterday. I told you I've been listening to a lot of the hell YouTube videos. He said his dad was a preacher. He said dad wasn't always that. Said dad was out there in the street, had backslid. But he came back to God, and he grew. And one thing about God, when you backslide and you come back, he put your past where you stop. Oh, he bless you real good to show you, I love you, prodigal son. You done come home. I got the fatted calf for you. I got the party going on for you. And it's not materialistic, but it's spiritual. So he says dad began to grow and, you know, get in a place, and he was able to go to China. He supposed to have been trading stuff. But in the codes was the Bible. So he was able to go underground and carry those Bibles to the people. Do you know what? Ooh, do you know what strength and power it took to do that? He said, and God kept coming to him, and his dad kept coming to him, and telling him about, you know, get right. He said, well, if I got to go over there at that church, I may as well get me a bottle of vanilla vodka and get tanked, he called it. Get tore up, and then I can go over and deal with these hypocrites. He said, but three times God sent a messenger to bring him to hell to show him. And the first two times he wrote it off. Oh, but that third time, he got to fear how hot it can be. And there's no coming out. He got to see skulls going down the river, and it stopped to let him and the messenger cross. Oh, he told him, I'm going to play it. I might bring it tomorrow so you can hear it. Beautiful. That thing touched me when he went to talking about his daddy. And how his daddy took stuff overseas in cold so that the underground people who couldn't declare Jesus could get the word. Boldness like that. We got to have holy boldness. Somebody said, well, I can't go down in the dope trap. I can't go down there where they're selling dope. I can't go out there where the prostitutes and the pimps at. I just can't do it. I can do it at the hospital. You know, I can do it at the church. Pray for holy boldness and see what God will send you. Ask God to show you the gift that he gave you. All the gifts that he gave to you, ask God to show them to you. Ask God to train you how to use those gifts. Where, when, again, and how. Ask him so that you can be out in the vineyard working the harvest. Tell him, Lord, night going to come. It's day now, but night going to come. And when night comes, I can't see, but Lord, if you'll train me, if you'll teach me today, show me the way to go. to be a harvest worker. Because it's, it may not, you may not become an evangelist, but I think you will. All believers should be an evangelist, spreading the good news of Jesus, being a great witness unto him. But you may not be an apostle. You may not be a bishop. You may not be a preacher. You may not be a minister. But you may be a super great witness unto the Lord. And you don't care where he uses you at. You don't even want a title. You just want to talk about God. You just want to tell somebody about the goodness of him. And it's all right today in Jesus' name. And we thank him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's none like him. But today the word of God is his word that holds true. And it's going to be true throughout eternity. The heavens, listen to this. And the earth will pass away before one little jot of his word fails. That's how important and strong the word of God is and truthful his word is. Read it, study it, and stand on it. Because it will deliver you, set you free, increase your faith, and strengthen you. The word of God. And we all need this. We all should want this. We all should want to be delivered and set free. We all should want to increase in faith. And we all should want to be strengthened in him. Because no matter what come our way, we strong. We can stand. Because we're standing on that sure foundation. We're standing on the word of God. And after standing, we're going to stand some more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word of God today. I'm thankful for it. I am thankful for his word. Without his word, I wouldn't know which way to go. I wouldn't know what to do. Thankful this morning for prayer. I can ask him something in prayer. Lord, what should I wear today? He'll put an outfit together for me. I don't see nothing real specific about it. But he put it together. It looked nice. And as I'm out and about, people say, oh, that's a nice outfit. Thank you. I mean, I'm going to get some compliments that day. Oh, that is so nice. Thank you. If anybody said, well, where did you get that from? I said, I prayed and asked the Lord to put it together. It was in my closet. Ah! Huh? Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he shall direct your path. Acknowledge him. Got to pray before we make a move. Lord, I want them shoes, and let them be on sale, God. Either he going to give you the amount you need to pay for the shoe, or they're going to be on sale when you get there. Huh? Lord, I seen that dress. Oh, I want it. Lord, put it on sale for me. Sometimes he won't let it go on sale. He'll give you the amount of money that the dress costs to pay for it. And then you still got change left over to spend. Well, some dollars. Ain't no change. We don't want no change. We want dollars. And we still got dollars left over to do a little more shop. Now I need the shoe, the right shoe to go with this. Yeah. Because we like fashion, too. But I'm going to tell you what I like. I like head coverings. I like long dresses. And if it wasn't for the Muslim stuff, I would have me some long sleeves. I would wear that Muslim outfit. I really would. I really would. Because I like that covered up. I like the way the women, I think it's Pakistan, I like the way they dress, too. The only thing you see is the eyes. And the dress is flowy, so you don't see no shape or nothing. I like that style, too. Now, I know somebody says, she crazy. I don't like all that. I like the American dress. Well, I like the religious dress. And not just because it's religious, but I just like that style. When I wear long dresses and long skirts, you can't tell me nothing now because I like that long, flowy. Somebody said it's an A-line. Some people like the tapered one to their body. I don't like that. I like that A-line flowy. Yeah. To me, it just makes ladies look like ladies. And you're not advertising what you got. You're not out there showing it, you know, to the world. And that's how men choosing you by the way you shaped. Some of them don't care how you look. They just want to look and see if you got some kind of curve, some kind of shape. I say, my goodness. Women know, I'm to my church women, they don't know. But then there's a difference between the women of God and church women. It's a difference. The women of God, we're more careful. We want to be careful. Yeah, we don't want all this tight stuff on. Now, I know some things like spandex are still comfortable to ladies. I got some, but it's too big. You wouldn't even know it's spandex. Ow! Y'all forgive me for laughing. Yeah, but I like flowy stuff. I like comfortable stuff. And especially going to church, because if I got to get down on a knee, I want to be comfortable. If them demons spit on me, I want to throw the whole outfit away. I don't want to wash it and never wear it again if I'm honest. I have done it, but I prefer to just throw it in the garbage. Yeah. God is faithful. God is faithful. And we want to be faithful unto him. I'm talking about we want to consider everything, the whole conclusion of the matter, even our dress code. We want to consider everything that pleases God, not us. Yeah, the word of God would teach us. In deliverance, it would teach us. In studying it, it would teach us. In reading it, it would teach us. Yeah, and increasing in faith, the word of God would teach us. Standing on his word, it would teach us if we want to be taught. I'm talking about what man teaching. I'm talking about what God is teaching through prayer, through his word. Hallelujah. And it's already all right today in Jesus' name. Listen, we're going to one more song of the morning. And Sister Dot, I think we said Wednesday. But if you're ready today, you know, we won't hold back. Whenever you're ready, we ready. And get those Bible questions in. Yeah. So we thank God this morning and we give him glory. We give him honor. We give him praise. I'm led to do this little prayer. It's only a minute and 23 seconds, but we want to take a listen to this, pray with her, touch and agree, and then we're moving on to our next song of the morning.
Lord, may nothing separate me from you today. Teach me how to choose only your way today, so each step will lead me closer to you. Help me walk by the word and not my feelings. Help me to keep my heart pure and undivided. Protect me from my own careless thoughts, words, and actions. And keep me from being distracted by my wants, my desires, my thoughts on how things should be. Help me to embrace what comes my way as an opportunity rather than a personal inconvenience. And finally, help me to rest in the truth of Psalm 86:13. Great is your love toward me. You already see the ways I will fall short and mess up. But right now, I consciously tuck your whisper of absolute love for me into the deepest part of my heart. I recognize your love for me is not based on my performance. You love me, warts and all. That's amazing. But what's most amazing is that the Savior of the world would desire a few minutes with me this morning.
Yeah.
Lord, help me to forever remember what a gift it is to sit with you like this. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say one word,
I
danger, when danger was around me.
If I
couldn't say one word, yeah,
I'll
wait. If I couldn't say one word,
I'll just wave my hand.
If I couldn't say one word,
I'll just wave my hand.
I'm talking about me. He been good, good to me. I just can't forget what he did at Calvary.
If I
couldn't say one word,
yeah, I'll just
wave
my hand.
Couldn't have done what you did when you went to Calvary. You shed your blood. You shed it for me. That's why I'm standing here on your word. I know your word will forever stand.
If I
couldn't say one word, yeah,
I'll
wait
my hand.
Oh,
I'll just
wait
my hand.
You've been good to me,
Jesus.
Helped me a long time, and you're still keeping me now. I want to thank you because you've been good to me, Lord. You've been good to me, Lord. A lot of times, that's all we can do is
just
wait. I remember back in 1995. I like to lost my mama, but ain't God good, y'all? Ain't God good, y'all? They thought my mama was dead, but mama wasn't dead. My uncle called me on the phone. He said, "Now, Pastor, your mama doing just fine. See, I ain't nothing but a mama's boy. I love my mama. My mama been good to me. See, I can't talk about none of y'all out there, but my mama been good to me. The doctor said my mama gonna have to stay in a wheelchair for 6 long months. But my mama rose up out of that wheelchair in only 3 months. Somebody ought to give God some praise. Ain't God good? When he woke me up this morning, all I did was wave my hand. When he put food on my table, all I did was wave my hand. When he put a roof over my head, all I got to do is that.
Inspiring and encouraging you all day long. Jesus in the Morning Radio with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. The studio is open this morning. If anyone has something they would like to share, please feel free to press that number one and come in today. And we thank God for the opportunity to say something on his behalf, because he's been good to us. I can't sit down on him. I've tried that before. It just don't work for Barbara. Every opportunity that becomes available that I can say something on his behalf, run your mouth, Barbara, because I have so much to say about him, because he has. He's been good to me. He's been faithful to me. I can't say that about everybody. There's not a whole lot of people I can truly say this morning, God has been faithful unto me. Yeah. Late in the midnight hour, he's there. Early in the morning, he is there. Huh? Before day in the morning, 3 a.m., 3:30, God is there. 4 o'clock, he is there. He promised never to leave me nor forsake me. He will be with me unto the end. And when I think about he's the one that can count me blameless, when I stand before him, because he said he will never leave me nor forsake me. So even when I stand before him, if I continue on and it's God that walk, he'll declare me blameless. Hallelujah. When I stand before him. I'm grateful unto him this morning when I tell you God has really been good to me. I can't even explain it. Words, hey, glory, can't even explain the things he has done for me. He saved me, made me a new creature in him. He did that for me. He filled me with his spirit. I couldn't do it for myself, only he could. He looked beyond my fault and yet meet my needs. He's on my side in spite of me. Hallelujah. He's for me this morning, so he's more than the whole world against me today. Or again this morning, I can look to the hills from which cometh my help. All of my help comes from the Lord. He made the heavens and the earth. Anybody ever had somebody jealous of you? They thought it was you. You were the one able to do all of this. You were the one got it like that. No, God did it. And they're jealous of what he did for you, but nothing they can do about it. But you could go to God for yourself. You don't have to be jealous of nobody. Go for yourself. And what I understand more than that, my labor is different. My labor is not like everybody else's. What he called me to, what he chose me for, is totally different. I'm not like the preachers in the pulpit. I'm just different. I just speak it like it is. I don't have no hoop. I don't have no fancy words. I don't have no, what they call these things? Smartness, I like that. I don't have all of that. Wittiness. I'm not a witty person. I'm with the word of God, but I'm not. I don't have to do all of that. The word is plain and simple. Even a child can understand it. Even a fool can understand the word. That's how God is. That's how much he loves us. He wasn't going to make anything complicated. We make it complicated, but he does not. And so we're thankful unto him this morning. We give him glory. We give him the honor. And we give him the praise. I can talk about me. I can't talk about other people, but I can talk about me. Because I know for me today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're just grateful. And thankful. All right. We'll go to one more song of the morning. And you know what? I wonder if I have time to share this. No, I don't. We'll share it tomorrow. I want to get that other one for you, that testimony, and let you hear this man testify. Oh, it's a beautiful thing, beautiful thing. Yeah. And we want to hear, I do, as many as possible, that's going to keep me looking to them hills, that's going to keep me looking to Almighty God. I tell you what, we'll just get out early this morning. Let's pray out. And then we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. And we'll go to our last song in the morning after prayer. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us today. We thank you for what you're doing right now. And Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. Great and mighty things. Father, I bring every call and every listener before you this morning, asking today, oh God, that you would bless every household represented here. Bless every family member near and far. Lord, this morning we bring Margot before you. And we ask that the blood test come out negative. They can't find nothing in her blood. Lord, it's like she was just born with pure blood of a baby. We bring Brother Her before you, David Her and his family. God, we ask that you would touch and heal his mother, his wife, his daughter. And God, bless his ministry. Lord, open doors and make ways for him in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you would bless Sherry this morning. We ask that you would touch and heal her eye. And God, everything that she needs, we ask that you would supply it according to your riches and glory today for Sherry in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless Stephen and bless Kim and bless Mr. Mason. Bless his sister today. Just bless the family, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you this morning. We thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you for what Louis left. All beautiful people. And we thank you this morning. Father, bless those that are incarcerated, those that are in every branch of the military. Father, we ask that you would bless widowers and bereaved families and intercessory prayer people everywhere. Father, bless preachers today, preaching in the name of Jesus and love for your people. Move in a mighty way for these preachers today, oh God. Give hearts desire. Open doors and make ways unto them. Bless Israel and prosper Jerusalem. Bless our brothers and sisters everywhere, overseas, oh God, those that are underground hiding. Lord, they can't say your name. We ask this morning that you would move upon them in a mighty way. Strengthen them. Give them holy boldness. And Lord, we bind the hand of the devil up, coming against them in the name of Jesus, and cast it to the pits of hell. And Father, we ask that you would rebuke the devourer for their sake today. And that, Lord, you would cover them in your blood. And anything that's not of you, God, we ask that you would destroy it from these your people. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory this morning. We give you honor and we give you praise. And Lord, we ask that you would touch and heal Sister Irene today. Lord, she's not feeling so well. Touch and heal Sister Jerry. In the name of Jesus, touch and heal Minister Ogletree today. In Jesus' precious name, we ask it all. And Father, we thank you today. And as we depart, bless our going out and bless our coming in. Again, meet the need in our lives today, according to your riches and glory, by your Son, Christ Jesus. Again, we ask it all, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, March the 5th, 2024, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye. Have a blessed day.
And he's a lane that you can do it too.